You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
Seeing Scott Van Pelt made me think of something, Stugatz, that I miss very much.
ESPN?
Around sports. Oh. One of the things that is gone from the way we, many of us, are now watching television is commercials. And ESPN television did some of the greatest commercials that there were anywhere at any time in sports. But I thought of it when I thought when I saw Wemby's logo released the other day, and just thought about how it is that athletes are marketed today, and in the streaming age, the relevance, the importance, and the quality of commercials has died, where you do not have athletes being supported. I don't think. Now, you can help. Please correct me if I'm wrong, because keep in mind, I'm speaking from a place of ignorance. At this point, I see very few commercials when watching television. So maybe there's some sort of campaign out there that I don't know about that sets up the next Michael Jordan the way Nike originally set him up, with Spike Lee commercials that were so artfully done that it didn't even matter that Michael Jordan as an entity wasn't terribly quotable or magnetic as a personality. They just framed him in a mythology in the commercial making that made it seem like he was a transcendent god with the best marketing package that anybody could buy.
They were right.
Nike has now made this for Wembanyama as a logo. And yesterday it was controversial. They released it during the eclipse, and the extraterrestrial sort of spider feel of it, I thought, was unbelievably cool. I thought, when this guy is running this sport, as he's going to be if he stays healthy, this as a crop circle type of extraterrestrial, this is from another land, another galaxy logo, I thought was exceptional. Did you guys have any reaction whatsoever to the debut of the Wembanyama Nike logo? Because the marketing around this guy, Nike's got a real chance to show people again why it is that they've dominated the marketing space with not just their sneakers, but the way it is that they sell athletes.
So I saw it for the first time, obviously, yesterday as well, and I thought to myself the same thing that you thought. Wow, that's really, really cool. But also, I don't think you and I are the people who determine what's cool. So I have no idea. Like, what I think is cool, I have no idea if younger people think it's cool.
Well, answer my question about commercials. Is there a campaign right now that's selling any kind of athlete in a way that's making them greater than, in terms of personality, than their natural personality? Because there, I don't think in the history, was it Weidman Kennedy? Those ESPN SportsCenter ads are among the best in the history of commercial television. But I think Nike, we can all agree that in the history of marketing, there have not been a lot of American entities ever better at marketing than Nike.
I agree, they're great at marketing, but you are not allowed to say that this is cool if you did not think the eclipse was cool. Like, yeah. You just can't. Nope, you're not allowed.
Why?
I can't?
Correct.
No, not
Why?
Allowed. Because this
right.
was cool, because it was marketed and tied in with the eclipse. Ah! I feel like I'm going crazy that no one here thinks the eclipse is cool.
I do.
Except Greg! Yeah. Greg, let's go watch some Columbo later.
Yeah, please.
I find this all very dumb. It's like giving an endorsement contract to a Texas-sized asteroid that's coming to destroy your planet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I would like the logo more if...
Wait. What are you agreeing with? What
do you disagree
let me,
with?
Let me just make sure that you
no,
weren't...
No, Greg's right.
Did you
Greg's
listen?
Was that a bridge to your
I know
point
he's always right,
he
Billy.
Agreed.
I know that. Billy, I know. I'm familiar with your work on Tuesdays. Thank you, Billy. I know that Greg's right. He's always right. But I don't think he actually absorbed anything Mike said. I think he was just waiting for him to stop talking so he could then talk. Okay. What are you agreeing with?
Mike, correct me if I'm wrong. You made a remark just now that I interpreted as being against that logo.
No,
you
what,
don't like what, that
no,
logo.
No. I'm against Victor Wembanyama and everything that he stands for because I think you should be outlawed from the game. He's going to destroy the game that we hold.
You weren't listening at all to him, right?
Okay. You agree.
You weren't listening.
No, I misunderstood.
This is like giving AI a Burger King commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, AI. Don't get me started on that. If Wembanyama's nickname were Space Alien, I would love the logo. But since it's not, the only redeeming value in that logo is that it vaguely has the pattern of a basketball, the lines of a basketball. Otherwise, you wouldn't even know what sport.
Do you know how frustrating? Do you know how frustrating it is to me? Generally
speaking, presenting climate change by Hoka.
That Mike Ryan is making a point.
Are you still belaboring that?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. I'm just going to tell you why, what happened here, and what my Tuesdays are like.
Don't know how to move on. Got to want to learn. Got to want to earn.
That's right.
That kind of thing.
Exactly. Good. Well said, Jesse.
Zagacki.
You know, I got to write that down. Note to self, look into personal logo.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like micro.
I'll do it better than that, I promise you.
It's like giving Microplastics a Merrill Lynch endorsement deal.
Well said.
I think they already have that.
I agree.
Mike Ryan made a point.
Oh, still on it. Okay.
That you didn't listen to at all, didn't absorb, don't know what he said.
Right.
You said, I agree. That's not the most frustrating part of it. And then that corner right there says, and I agree with Greg Cody when
Billy, he said he's right.
Billy doesn't know what he was agreeing with, and Cody doesn't know what he's agreeing with. So all of the noise that comes after Mike Ryan making the point he's making is people who are agreeing with something they didn't understand.
We stand united behind Mike.
Mm-hmm. Good teammates. Yes, and.
Don't look at me. I've done it a million times.
You think you can do a better logo than that? Go ahead. Let's see.
He's not a graphic artist. And Wemby didn't come up with that himself.
I know, but he just said he could produce a better. He just guaranteed us. He made it a guarantee. I guarantee you I can produce a better logo than that. That's what he just said.
Can we give the man a week? Wemby had a team. Exactly. He had some time to think about it.
So do you have a back in my day today?
Is it Tuesday?
Yes.
Of course I do.
There you go.
Oh, hey.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow. It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
Duh.
And you're in.
Yep.
Of course I do.
Jeez.
Should go without saying. No, at this time next week, I will reveal a Greg Cody personal logo.
Nice.
That hopefully Nike will pick up. And
will be better than that one, you guarantee.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crusty,
That's a ridiculous
Sperry.
Logo.
Give him time.
It doesn't say Wembanyama. It doesn't... Yeah, it should have a Wemby, you know, something like that. Anything. Oh, God, we're going through it right now.
And now, it is time to take a trip down memory lane. Here's your guy, Greg Cody, with Back in My Day.
Wow, prop.
He really did come prepared. Wow. He's got an old-fashioned...
How dare you question
him? ...press hat on.
Sports attire. One thing we don't do nearly enough is learn from the past and emulate it. In my line of work, sports writing, the old scribes would wear suits, including press hats like this one, in press boxes during games. That's even before my time. I'm talking early 20th century. The late, great Edwin Pope might have seen it. Those were days when newspapers were chucked onto lawns by kids on bikes, when a sports writer took notes longhand with a pencil and was free to get the quote wrong because tape recorders hadn't been invented. Stories clacked to life on heavy battleship-grade typewriters. Clunky cameras had flashbulbs that popped, and press boxes were filled with acrid cigar smoke. Ah, what we have given up in the misbegotten name of progress. This was an era in sports writing when Philadelphia Athletics manager Connie Mack wore a full suit in the dugout, sometimes with an overcoat as well, and topped with a hat. He'd switch it up, oftentimes a wide-band fedora topped the tall technician's skull. other times a black bowler derby did, and sometimes, rakishly, it was a straw English boater. Mac was way ahead of his time. Contemporaries of his like John McGraw and Joe McCarthy and other managers wore uniforms like they do today, but Mac sat bolt upright on the dugout bench, necktie peeking out from under a vest. He was ahead of his time because he inherently understood that, except for the rare player manager, which expired in the 1960s, there was zero need for a manager to be in uniform unless the expressed purpose was to look silly. Baseball managers remain the only coaches in American professional sports to still wear uniforms for reasons eternally elusive. What a shock it never caught on, huh? Trying to picture Greg Popovich courtside in a tank top, shorts, and sneaks. How about a hockey coach fully padded up and on skates on the bench, or Andy Reid in a football helmet? A baseball manager dressed ready for action makes as much sense as a fan showing up at the ballpark in full uniform. Old Bobby Cox, looking like the world's oldest player, went so far as to wear spikes and a cup during games, even as it took him a week to ascend the dugout steps and another month to waddle to the mound. Let's bring back common sense in sports attire and a sense of decorum and class as well. I want to meet the next newly hired big league manager who has the baseballs to wear a suit in the dugout, to throw it back with a tip of the cap, a tip of the fedora to Connie Mack. I'm going to do my part by, from now on, making a press hat de rigueur in my working ensemble at games. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was, even back before my day.
Connie Mack was born in 1862.
Damn right he was.
Hey, it's Mike. As you know, sports are a bit crazy right now. It kind of feels like everything is happening all at once, and you have to make some decisions to prioritize if you want to support your team or go out and see some of these games. Well, I've got a recommendation for you. As someone that loves sports and loves attending live sporting events, you're always hunting the secondary market for hard-to-find tickets. I've been out there in those streets, and I know the best possible place for me and you is Game Time. It's an incredible app that is so upfront with its pricing. It's an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. Game Time, tons of last-minute deals. You can save up to 60% off buying last-minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. Take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code DAN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code DAN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Don Levitard.
And then that Stafford threw him 25-2. Oh, there's a brand new kid in town out of BYU.
Stugatz.
They call him Boo.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
Friends, colleagues, mentors,
countrymen.
I'm addressing everyone in here. I was just trying to see how far I could go with that. It is time to update March Sadness. We have our final four, guys. Who's excited? Greg?
Yeah, I am.
Do you think you have a clue from the Greg Cody region what made the final four?
I don't know. I hope Lovely Cruz made it, because that's dear to my heart.
I don't even think they made the Sweet 16.
Did not.
And as I remind you, March Sadness is presented.
Your limited fake Romo. Your March limited Sadness. Fake Tony Romo is very good, Jessica.
As I remind you, March Sadness is presented by Get Your Guide. Discover over 100,000 unforgettable travel experiences in the U.S. and around the world at getyourguide.com.
Wow.
All right. The really, song region.
Really hammer the .com there.
I mean, I'm trying to hammer everything.
Great
Stugatz.
Read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The song region. I mean, we know who made this, right? The one seed. It's the favorite in the whole tournament. The one seed from the song region, Puka Nacua.
His name is Cooper, good at running curls. But when his hammy got a tear, he saw Puka standing there. His
and we wonder now, who will that go up against? Well, the song region is going up against the region of death. And who made it?
Wow.
A 16 seed
no
made it to the final four, and it's Roy as the bear.
It's excellent. I've got to be honest. Roy Bellamy, the costume that he ended up putting together, very sparse. It's a cigarette, it's a backward cap, and it's an apron, and yet he pulls off looking like somebody who would be working in the kitchen of the bear.
Hmm.
So it's very exciting to see who will make the final from those two. In the other matchup, we have out of the Greg Cody region.
Wow.
Let's see. It's great. Nice hat, asshole.
Can't trade Marino.
Nice hat. Nice hat.
It's what he's most known for. It's like I'm holding on to it.
Do you remember what Scott Mitchell looked like in that next game after Marino?
They
got
were 9-2. They were 9-2.
Amazing.
And then they lost their last five and missed the playoffs.
Nice
they
hat.
They were 9-2. But it's Marino.
Nice
and then
hat.
The next time we saw Marino after Greg Cody traded him, he threw for 5 touchdowns.
Nice
and he
hat.
Was Dan the Man on the cover of Sports Illustrated. You can't trade Marino.
Nice hat, asshole.
So that makes our final four.
Deserving. I mean.
And it is going against the club region. Who do you guys think made it here? We had I get left
Lucy.
And right. And
it's
we
gotta
had
be Lucy.
You fat piece of bleep.
So just lowest common denominator.
That's right.
Yep.
And
I'm
the winner.
I'm guessing Lucy is going to be the winner.
And the winner. Reaching the final four. 8 seed.
I was getting just left and right.
We need Lucy to win as a consolation prize for Caitlin Clark and Iowa losing.
She's going to come in second place.
You could just rename all of March Sadness Lucy Rodine.
This feels like Puka Nakua versus Nice Hat to me.
Greg, you had a 50% chance.
Final. Yeah.
I like it.
Her sadness is profound, right? Lucy, yes. We have not been able to check in with her this week. Is she broken? Is she taking leave just because she's so sad?
Yeah, I think so. No, I do think she'll be back tomorrow. But, I mean, devastating 2 years for Lucy. Losing in the championship back-to-back, it's very really Buffalo tough. Bills of the Iowa Hawkeyes. Really.
Except they did it 4 times.
I know. Imagine if Lucy had to go through this 2 more times. Oh, my God.
Stugatz is getting mad at many of the people who have commentary about Caitlin Clark that's less than positive about her professional chances, the UConn women who are doing analysis, and this is part of what it is that you get. Caleb Williams is getting it. Everyone who's going to come into a league with expectations is going to have his or her critics.
Really, what I'm upset about is just criticizing Caitlin in general for what she's done for the game and pointing out, hey, I have more rings. Leave that to me. Leave that to the media. Do you want your game to grow or do you not? No, I did not go to my television set when Breonna Stewart was winning 4 championships with UConn. But somehow Caitlin Clark got me there for
kind
an Elite Eight game.
Yourself.
She got me there. I am. But she got me there for an Elite Eight game. She got me and my family there for a semifinal game. And she got me and my wife sitting around 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon watching a women's college basketball game. She should be applauded for that. And I don't understand.
She's been plenty applauded for that.
Dawn Staley had to go out of her way because she knows some of the blowback that Caitlin Clark is getting from other players. And so she had to go out of her way while she's hoisting the trophy to say thank you to Caitlin Clark for being one of the GOATs. I just don't get it. Do you want your sport to grow or not? And who cares how it grows or who's the reason that it grows? It grew because of Caitlin Clark. It's going to continue to grow because of what Caitlin Clark did this year.
Did you listen to Diana Taurasi's full comments?
Let's play them here for Stugatz.
Right? When the college guys come out, they're waiting for them. I mean, Camilla's coming. Caitlin's coming. There's more than just that are coming. What will the league have in store for them when they get there?
Look, SVP, reality is coming.
Okay.
You know, there's levels to this thing, and that's just life. We all went through it.
Of course.
And you see it on the NBA side, and you're going to see it on this side, where, you know, you look superhuman playing against 18-year-olds, but you're going to come with some grown women that have been playing professional basketball for a long time. Not saying that it's not going to translate, because when you're great at what you do, you're just going to get better. But there is going to be a transition period where you're going to have to give yourself some grace as a rookie. And, you know, it might take a little bit longer for some people.
Right on. That's
projecting what she'll be once she gets to the WNBA is different than criticizing her for what she did in college. So I'm not upset at people who are saying, hey,
but
she
who
might
did that. How many people were doing that?
There were a bunch of people saying,
but
why
Breonna
is she
Stewart
getting
Stewart said you have to win a ring to be the GOAT or something. And Breonna Stewart has 4 championships. But, so, yeah, I mean, isn't that your whole take?
Well, that's my take, and I'm saying leave that take to me. Breonna Stewart, you don't need to go there, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. I mean,
that you're entitled to say it, but you
should come from me. It should not come from Breonna Stewart. Her game grew. Does she care about the game?
Okay. What a pivot from Stugatz.
Is she upset about the fact that she's not the one that grew it the way Caitlin Clark did?
Perhaps that could be part of what is tinged here, is that Caitlin Clark is getting something that no one in the history of the sport has gotten, and other players in the sport might consider themselves worthy of that distinction. I just think it's fairly amazing that you feel like you're entitled to the take, but four-time champion Breonna Stewart should stay out of this discussion.
I think there's an element of like... players don't want to be told that what they did didn't matter because people weren't paying attention. And I think that Caitlin Clark's rise, we need to put it in context of what is happening right now across all of college sports, which is now players are allowed to make endorsement deals and players are allowed to monetize themselves. And I think her style of play is a huge reason why she's hugely popular, and she shoots three-pointers from the logo and they go in, and she has the all-time scoring record. Like, she's an incredibly exciting player to watch. The way that she plays, people are mesmerized by. But I think there's also an element of, like, we don't have to, like, tiptoe around the fact that she is a moneymaker now. She can actually make that money, and it catapults her into a level of stardom that previously players were not able to do because of the dumb NCAA and its dumb rules.
I do understand, though, why any of the people who had less press attention but comparable skills would be, in whatever ways they're contaminated, their viewpoint is contaminated by whatever their allegiances are. It can be as simple as you went to UConn and your coverage is going to be UConn biased and intensive. I can understand any previous pioneer, a Diana Taurasi, looking at how hard they had it, and maybe not all of them would show great grace in those circumstances, seeing that Caitlin Clark has dominated getting the fruits of everybody's labor, right? Because this is the culmination. This moment is the culmination of a lot of work that predates Caitlin Clark before all of this attention got here, and some other people might feel like they're entitled to it.
And like, Caitlin hasn't even like said all, like, she's not done anything wrong. Like, she has been very gracious about all of it and like recognizing the past legends and stuff. I think what's very exciting about all of this is that you can tune in and see how Caitlin Clark does in the WNBA in like a month, because the draft is next week. And guess what? Diana Taurasi's team, the Phoenix Mercury, they're already marketing their game against the Fever as the rookie versus the GOAT. So this is all great marketing for the W. Diana Taurasi knows what she's doing, and she doesn't care if you call her a hater, because that is her whole vibe. And if you're just finding out who she is, go look up some highlights. Yeah, she's fun to watch, too.
I hope Clark puts 50 up on her.
Don Libertard.
Fakes. I don't like smelly either.
Stugatz.
Women stay home in the kitchen where they belong.
This is the Don Libertard Show with the Stugatz.
None of the stuff that you're accusing her of saying, she said. Did you listen to the clip?
Semantics.
No, you are projecting a...
Semantics.
You're projecting semantics. Something semantics. On her that she didn't say.
Semantics.
I mean, who named Taurasi the GOAT?
Right. Literally, what? People that
not
have watched
my
her
top
play
five.
For 30 years.
Who won?
She was in your top five. She was your number three.
Breonna Stewart was number one.
Who's
Taurasi,
the GOAT?
Nobody's GOAT.
Cheryl Miller.
I am ready to proclaim once and for all that, and I'm thankful that the NFL was able to eradicate racism once and for all last season. I am ready to say that we've finally reached equality, because who's the GOAT is now a conversation in women's sports. The thing that makes my face numb and makes me just tired of the discussion, because I'm still seeing it on sports networks, is it LeBron or is it Michael Jordan?
We know it's Jordan now, right?
Yeah.
So that's over. So
all is not said and done. And also, people were DMing me yesterday. They're like, you said you GOAT talk, blah, blah, blah. Dawn Staley brought up the GOAT talk, all right? She said Caitlin Clark was one of the GOATs, and we were debating if you can be one of the GOATs, so blame Dawn, not me. Yeah. She started GOAT talk this week with Caitlin Clark.
It is one of the foolproof ways to always discuss sports in a way that's not going to interest me.
I do find it interesting that a hot take. I was watching it in a sports bar where a lot of dudes were super into the game, and the Phillies were playing at the same time, and they asked for the Iowa game to have the sound on, and I heard a lot of takes in there that, you know, were your basic level hot takes, which is why is she going to go to the WNBA, because she matters so much right now in college. And I understand that there's a brand awareness that comes with college that maybe Joe sports fan who hasn't really been paying attention to the W doesn't necessarily need to overcome for college, but she's a bona fide needle mover. Why would you doubt her at this point when Caitlin Clark has done more for women's college basketball in terms of bringing people into the tent than anyone else? Why would you doubt her, especially a lot of these Joe sports fans that are just coming around to the phenomenon and pushing it to these new heights by being casual observers of it? You don't think that's going to be there with the hype train when the GOAT takes on the rookie? I imagine that's going to be a really difficult ticket to get. And by the way, where do you go when there's a really difficult to get? When the primary market is all dried up, turn to the secondary market. Who's the best in the secondary market? It may just be my opinion, but I think it's Game Time. Do yourself a favor. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use the code Dan for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. In this case, you could see the GOAT or the rookie. And you could see exactly your seat and what the view might be of the GOAT and the rookie. All the fees up front, low price guarantee. If you, for whatever reason, find another price out there that may be lower, you alert Game Time to it, and they got your back, Jack.
There you go. That's brilliant marketing, the GOAT versus the Rook, and you're going to see it throughout the WNBA, I hope. Caitlin Clark's going to continue to be a moneymaker, a great businesswoman for the WNBA, and bring nothing but positive marketing. However, it is perfectly fair to wonder and maybe even be a little, just a tiny bit skeptical, how are her talents going to translate in the NBA, where she's going against players who are 4 or 5 years older, who are veteran professionals, who are more athletic than what she's been used to facing. You know, I read a criticism.
South Carolina was pretty athletic.
No, right. But again, it's on a lower level. And I did read a criticism that Caitlin Clark has a high dribble, which in the pros may be susceptible to athletic defenders stealing her. So, you know, it's going to be fascinating to watch. I'm a fanboy. I love Caitlin Clark. I'm going to be fascinated to see how she translates to the WNBA, and I hope she kills it. But it's fair to wonder and question until she does.
I agree with Greg on everything, and I also think that building rivalries is a huge part of sports and why I think that this is all great, and this is part of what is going to drive eyeballs, because now you're going to have the Caitlin Clark doubters versus the Caitlin Clark will be rookie of the year this season and an all-star and all these things. And I think what's great about the way the season is laid out is that there's not great for Caitlin Clark, admittedly, because she's not going to get an offseason, is that this all builds towards a draft, which happens next week, and then a few weeks later the season starts and we get to actually just watch her play again. So I love that this is happening. I think this is awesome. I think just in general, like, this is what the sport needs. It needs people to pay attention to the different storylines and the different rivalries, and to wonder, you know, how will her game translate in a defensive league where people are going to, like in the game on Sunday, Raven Johnson shut her down in the last three quarters. She only scored 12 points after she had that huge 18-point first quarter, and picked her pocket right before the half, was able to dribble away and hit a layup to put the Gamecocks up by three going into the half and kind of swing the tides for the rest of the game.
Greg, doesn't it stand to reason she's going to be better in the pros? She's playing with, I realize she's playing against better opponents, but she's playing with better teammates. The game's more wide open. She's a great shooter, and she's an even better passer.
Right.
Like, to me, that was the most impressive thing about her, about Caitlin Clark, is her vision, her ability to make passes that I've never seen made before. Like, she was great.
You haven't been watching.
That's
like,
fair.
I mean, yeah, like, yeah. You've never seen them made before because you haven't been watching.
This is a great moment for women. I know many women don't see it right there, but Stu Gatz and Greg Cody pulling analysis out of their ass, that's equality, folks.
Yeah, thank you.
Look, Caitlin Clark is a one-woman economy.
He's like, you want more? I'll give you more.
She's a one-woman economy, and she's going to bring all that to the pros now. And the WNBA needs that. I hope that the momentum from women's basketball, which now sees the women's final out rating the men's final. I hope that carries over to the WNBA, and I think it could, largely because of Caitlin Clark, and I hope it does.
When we're looking at a number of 18.9 million, Jeremy, can you put that into some sort of context for me so that I explain to people over the week you kept breaking record ratings from game to game? The idea that we are now talking about caring enough to argue about the same talking points that we argue about everywhere else is an achievement for this sport that isn't on the magnitude of 18.9 million, but the way that people care, caring enough to argue about this stuff, caring enough to get here and all of a sudden have all sorts of opinions about everything because the roots of what's happening is you care. This is a moment in women's sports over the course of the last week that I have not seen since the U.S. Soccer team did what Brandi Chastain did in order to bring this movement along to the place where you've got a country watching something as appointment television when that television is more fractured than it's ever been. And I'm guessing that on Sundays at 3 o'clock during the NFL season, there's many an NFL game that's not getting 18.9 million. I don't think I'm wrong about that. The big games on Sunday, the 4 p.m. games when the Chiefs are playing or the Cowboys are playing, those are bigger numbers than 18.9 million. But I don't know, Jeremy. You tell me where all the numbers are in sports that would suggest at 3 o'clock on a Sunday, Stu. God, it's like 3 o'clock on a Sunday that's not the religion, the new religion in this country that is football on Sundays. No, you've got to go find a television in what is your weekend. And 3 p.m. Sunday is not any kind of prime time. So it's not just 18.9 million. It's 18.9 million at a crazy time for people to be at their televisions.
The way that the sport is growing, it's up 285% from 2 years ago, up 89% in viewership from last year. So that's the growth from year over year. It peaked at 24 million viewers. It's the most watched basketball game, men or women's, college or pro, since 2019. And excluding football and the Olympics, it's the most watched sporting event since 2019.
I'm awesome. Still not watching those stupid ladies. They should be in the kitchen. They can't even dunk except for the ones that have dunked, but I'm ignoring those ones. Small brains.
Do I
have funny?
Do I have it right that the average 1 o'clock football game on a Sunday, the average NFL game on a Sunday might not be doing 18.9 million if it's not one of the big big matchup games.
Average game was 17.9 million last year.
Bigger than the average football game, Stu Gatz.